If you have trouble being lifted up, here's a wonderful Bible lesson that will encourage you. Tony Broom Ministries now presents the following Bible teaching session entitled Triumph of God's Kingdom.
All the counsel of God's Word is important. Whether you're talking about the law, whether you're talking about grace, prophets, the Gospels, I love to talk about the kingdom of God. And it's an honor to be able to come to you today to talk about the kingdom of God. Because Jesus Christ will return in glory and power to establish His kingdom. I cannot promise you that things will go well in the earthly kingdom. I can certainly hope they will. And I know that if we do what's right, God will bless us and He will prosper our nation. He will prosper our kingdom. But we as God's people, we don't have an earthly kingdom. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But my kingdom is not of this world." Our kingdom is a heavenly kingdom. Our kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." So we know the kingdom hasn't come yet because Jesus told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." And the heavenly kingdom is coming to rule over the heavens and the earth. But the kingdom of God is now. We are not praying for the kingdom of God as such to come. We're praying for the kingdom of heaven, the Father to bring His heavenly kingdom to rule and reign over this earth. Thy kingdom come. But Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. And so we're operating now in the kingdom of God. And God will one day bring His kingdom to rule and reign over this earth. Thank God for that coming kingdom. And we have a promise of it. It will be a triumphant kingdom. Triumph of God's kingdom. The Bible says way back in Daniel that God, His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And the Psalm said His truth endures to all generations. The kingdom will be taken by the saints. They will take the kingdom and they will rule and reign forever. Jesus is returning in glory and power. He will set up that kingdom. And He tells us to pray that God's kingdom would come. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. We will be in the book of the Revelation today. The seventh angel sounded. This is that last trumpet that is blown, the last trumpet, not the rapture trumpet, but the judgment trumpet. There are seven judgment trumpets. And this last trumpet is blown, sounded, the blast of the shofar trumpet. There were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Makes you want to join in and sing the Hallelujah chorus. Because He will reign forever and ever. That is good news. I come to you with good news today. The triumph of God's kingdom. I cannot promise good news in this world. I can promise you one thing. If we continue making the choices that we make, we are destined for danger and destruction. Many nations of the world have fallen because they've made the wrong choice. Sometimes people make the right choice and it ends up being wrong because of crooked politicians and other people who are rigging and working out things to their own advantage. Sometimes it's not the people's fault. It's taken out of the people's hands. But I'm glad that there's a kingdom that is a righteous kingdom. No crookedness, no shenanigans, no fraud is going on in that kingdom. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. The Lamb and His redeemed, they make up that kingdom. Chapter 5 of the book of the Revelation. The church is already in heaven. We've heard that great voice that John heard in chapter 4, verse 1, when he says, "The door is open in heaven, and I heard a voice saying, 'Come up here.'" We hear that voice, and He comes, and He calls us, and we go up there to be with Him. And we praise and worship our Redeemer, our Creator. "For you, all these things are created. for thy pleasure they are and were created. The elders worship, bow down and give praise to God. The angels praise and worship God. And then in chapter 5, there's presented a book that has seven seals. These seven seals have to be opened because it's important that this book is opened so that the judgment can be poured out, and I like to use this word, unleashed, the wrath of God upon this world. But in order for that to happen, this book has to be opened. And nobody is found worthy to open the book. They look in heaven, they look in earth, they look in the sea, they look everywhere. Nobody is found worthy to open the book. And finally they say, here is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Lion, the Lamb. He has prevailed to open the book. In chapter 5, verse 9, they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The kingdom of God, and this particularly the church, who is now raptured in heaven, will be made up of every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. Not just for one race or one color. All people from all over the earth who know Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God and their Savior, and their redeemed, will be taken up to heaven to be with the Lord. And now in heaven we're praising Him. And you have made us kings unto our God and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. You may not be anything now, but He has made you a king. He has made you a priest. He has made you a queen, a princess of the Most High God. I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts, these living creatures that correspond to the creatures back in the book of Ezekiel that he saw in the vision by the river Kibar. And these creatures that have all these funny looking faces and a whole bunch of eyes. And now you see these living creatures in heaven that are made to praise God. And their sole purpose, their intention, and their continual job is to praise and give glory to God. And now the elders, the beasts, the angels, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You couldn't even count them. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And here are the seven praises of the Lamb to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Oh, praise God. That perfect worship, seven is God's number of perfection. That complete worship and praise to the Lamb. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that in them are, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And this praise erupts in heaven as Christ now is found worthy to open the book. And so the seals are unloosed on this world. Six of the seals are open in chapter 6. And in chapter 7, there are sealed 12,000 of every tribe of the children of Israel. Each tribe has 12,000 sealed of these special servants of God that are sealed in their foreheads. And now in chapter 7, verse 9, after this, after they are sealed, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. White robes is righteousness, palms is praise and worship, crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, the living creatures, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen. blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might. There's a sevenfold worship of God. You had in chapter 5 the sevenfold worship of the Lamb, and now here in chapter 7 the sevenfold worship of God. Be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these? We might say, Who are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Where did they come from? I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are the tribulation saints, those who are saved during the tribulation period. Will there be people saved during the tribulation period? Yes, but you don't want to wait and take a chance. Gamble on your soul and wait and say, I'll wait to get saved during the tribulation period. Chances are you won't be, because you'll have to take a mark, and people are already taking a mark. If people will vote for socialism and vote for communism, you know that when the tribulation period comes and the influence of the Holy Spirit is withdrawn from this world and the church is gone, you know they'll take the mark of the beast and be lost.
Yes.
Somehow, God is able to save. I don't know how He saved me. I don't know how He saved us. Somehow, God does it. And if He can do that, He's God, He can do it. And He'll save people during the tribulation period. I pray to God that if our family is left here, then that they'll be saved. But I pray to God that they'll be saved now.
Yes.
Why wait till then when you can be saved now?
Yes.
When it's so much easier, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How much easier can it be than that? Jesus went to the cross, shed His blood for you, and He took all the hard work out of it. All we have to do is come to Him, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. This triumph of God's kingdom is foretold in Revelation chapter 11, in verse 15. We've read that as our golden text already. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. This seventh trumpet is blown, and we'll see later that there are seven vials, bowls of wrath, that are poured out upon this world, which completes the judgment of God, the wrath of God. The 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come. For thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Seems like just when the elders get seated good, something else happened in heaven and they had to fall down and worship God again. And when they get up and get seated, somebody starts praising God and they fall down and worship Him again. I think I'd kind of like that kind of job. Up and down and up and down for God. All these people in this world, they're up and down, in and off and up and down. Maybe they'd like that kind of job too. Get up on the throne, sit up there on the seat, and then when it comes, you worship God, you fall down again, then you get up, sit there a little bit, and it's time to worship Him again. Just continual praise and worshiping God. And now they're worshiping God because the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, His anointed one. And we know, of course, that is Jesus, the anointed one of God. Peter knew who He was. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, the son of Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He's the one that told you that. You didn't learn that in the university, in the cemetery or seminary. You didn't learn it anywhere like that. My Father revealed that to you, the Christ of God. And all born-again people know that same thing. We know who He is. He's the Christ of God. He is the one who will rule and reign. When the kingdoms of this world, and you can look around and see how messed up this world is and all the kingdoms of this world. When the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, that is reason for a celebration. Chapter 12, verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, that one who causes all this trouble. He fell from heaven originally. Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And now the fight takes place in heaven and the dragon is defeated. The great dragon is cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan. There's no deceiving or no hem-hawing about who this is. It tells you who it is, that old devil. The one who deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, he originally fell from heaven, but he was not confined to the earth. His domain is out there in the outer space. That's why I've always been against these people shooting off these rockets, going to the moon. Ain't a man in the moon, my daddy used to tell me, a man in the moon, ain't a man in the moon. You know, you talk about the expression, a man in the moon. We don't have no business being in the moon. God put us on the earth.
That's right.
Flying around in outer space out there in the evil domain where the demons reign. And their chains are reserved and under darkness out there in the domain of the deep. And the spirits beg Jesus, don't cast us out into the deep. Why you think they said that? Because that's that place they're supposed to be. No, they want to be down here on earth where they can cause trouble. Now, he's confined to the earth. Can you imagine how bad it will be then? It's bad enough now when he bothers everything down here on earth. But he's not confined to the earth. Then he will be confined to the earth. He's cast out into the earth. All of his evil spirits and demons are cast out with him. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You don't think he's accusing you before God day and night just like he did Job. That's exactly what he's doing.
Amen.
Telling God how bad you are and how bad God is for putting any trust in you and having anything to do with you whatsoever. And he's saying the same thing to God about us that he did about Job. You just let a little trouble, a little trial come, and they'll curse you to your face. And we're proving the devil a liar, because he's always been a liar, and he still is. And we're proving him such because we're serving God. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives until the death. They had to die, but they lived because they served God. It's important to have a testimony that you can be right with God, to triumph in glory of God's kingdom. Revelation 19. Now that hallelujah chorus comes from heaven, the four hallelujahs, they're spoken and sung. The four hallelujahs are spoken and sung. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. It's like Brother Jensen Franklin said, Jesus is saying to Gabriel, Gabriel, go get my horse ready. Don't you think he might be saying that? Go get that horse ready, buddy. He comes out from heaven now on a white stallion, thundering through the clouds, and he comes to make judgment and war. Verse 15, chapter 19, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he would smite the nations. That's the word of God, don't you know? He will rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. We can be saved by him or we can be judged by him. The choice is ours. He has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have no doubt who is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't help but include chapter 20, verse 10. This is a verse which should be known by every Christian. Every Christian ought to know Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, because this is the devil's future. This is what he's got coming to him. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Praise be to the Almighty God. Chapter 21, verse 2. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He said, I saw a new heaven. I saw a new earth. The first heaven and the earth were passed away. There was no more sea, had no more purpose for it. And now all things are made new. I saw this beautiful city. Well, heaven tells you, the Word of God tells you about this beautiful city. We ought to take some stock in it. That's going to be our home forever and ever and ever. Don't you think we ought to know a little more about it? It's like a bride prepared for her husband, a beautiful place. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God." Verse 22 through the first part of verse 24. I saw no temple therein. Now when John was in heaven, he saw the temple. But now when you get to the end, that beautiful city, there's no need for a temple. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And God said, "Let there be light." That glory of God was the light in this world, even before the sun was created. And now, there's no need of the sun, no need of the moon. That same glory of God, when he said, "Light be," light was. That same light lightens that wonderful city. The Lamb is the light thereof. The nations of them who are saved shall walk in the light of it. That's who goes to heaven. Those who are saved. Those who are right with God. Those who know God. Those are the ones who go to heaven. It's worth it all to be right with God. It's worth it all to live for God. It's worth it all to be part of that kingdom. I already have my reservation made. I already have my ticket and my number's there. My name is on it, and it's already punched. All I got to do is turn in my ticket. When he calls my name, I got my ticket ready, and all I got to do is groove on in. Take a trip in a good old gospel ship. Go far beyond the sky. I shout and sing until the heavens ring while I bid this world goodbye. Somebody said, "Why should God let you into heaven?" They even preach about it. They say, God says, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" But you know, God's not going to ask you that. When you get there, you're already in heaven. He's not going to ask you, "Why should I let you in?" He knows why he's let you in, because of his Son, Jesus Christ, our faith and our trust in him. Father, we thank you that your kingdom is triumphant. We thank you that there's no doubt the triumph and victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you for the triumph of God's kingdom. We praise you. We are part of the family of God. May many people come in and be kings and priests to join the wonderful family of God and be part of your kingdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching session entitled Triumph of God's Kingdom. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.